It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. The sequester turns a week old tomorrow. Surely you remember the sequester, those across-the-board $85 billion in federal budget cuts that kicked in last Friday. We may not be feeling the effects of them now, but experts say we will. I'm joined by phone from Washington by NPR business editor Marilyn Geewax. Marilyn Geewax, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Hi, it's great to be with you. You know, I'm from Youngstown originally, so I've really enjoyed hearing the discussion about economic development in that area, especially LTV places that used to be mills when I was a kid. It's great to hear what you guys are talking about.
If you have a comment or question for our guest, you can call 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. So, Marilyn, it's been a week. Are we supposed to be feeling the effects of the sequester yet?
Yes. This month, of course, you may be thinking about March Madness as a basketball event, but here in Washington, we've been following March Madness on Capitol Hill as we watch the lawmakers and the White House try to figure out how to solve this complex problem. Last week on March 1st, we were supposed to have the sequester kick in, and it did. But the thing is, most of the impact of it will be delayed for at least a month because people have to get these 30-day notices that their hours are going to be cut or their jobs reduced. So the process of putting these cuts into place is now underway, but the actual impact won't be felt for probably a couple more weeks.
So with the sequester underway, how is it that the stock market soared to a record 14,254 2 days ago? This would seem to be a contradiction.
All right, let me just stop and sort out a few things.
Please.
Let me just say this about that. Well, the sequester itself, just because that term is so confusing to people, it sounds like such a Washington term, and it is, but the word really means to set something aside legally. So when you think about a judge sequestering a jury, and we've all heard that phrase, it means that just that the judge is not kidnapping the people, he's not falsely imprisoning them, he has the legal right to set them aside. So what Congress has is the legal right to set aside money that has already been allocated to be spent, and he can, you know, Congress can just say, okay, this money has to be put on the side until we straighten out a problem. That problem was supposed to be straightened out well before this kicked in. Everyone thought that this was kind of a crazy idea to begin with, but they put it into place to force themselves to behave well. Well, they didn't behave well. The deadline came, and Congress had not sorted out the problems of figuring out how to cut spending or raise revenues enough to get us a little closer to a balanced budget. So now this whole process of across-the-board cutting of spending is in place. Now, on Wall Street, how do they see this? Well, all the economists say that this will hurt growth. I mean, you just can't find an economist who says this is good for the economy. But across the board, economists have really kind of come to the conclusion that this will likely cut growth in this year by about a half of a percentage point.
Well, isn't what they're saying that you can't cut your way to prosperity? In an already shaky economy, what they're warning against is that these cuts ultimately could do harm to what recovery we've seen so far.
Yes. I mean, there really isn't any serious dispute among economists. The numbers are like 9 out of 10 would agree, and there are lots of polls of economists, so this is pretty good data. But it's clear that the overwhelming majority of economists say we will lose a half a percentage point of growth. Now, that might not sound like a lot. You could say, well, what's a half a percentage point? Well, you know, in a big economy like this, that matters a lot. It could be the difference between growing at 3 percentage points, which is good, pretty robust growth, and only 2.5% growth, which is modest. You know, it means, if you want to translate it into jobs, it's about 750,000 jobs lost if we have that half a percentage point loss. So we've already got about 12 million people looking for work. It wouldn't be great for the economy to dump another 750,000 on top of that. So no economist or serious economists say that this is great for the economy. But there we have the Wall Street crowd kind of celebrating. So what's happening on that side? Well, The reason that investors are pushing stock prices higher, a couple of things. For one, the Federal Reserve says that they're going to continue to keep interest rates low because growth is not fast enough. The economy is still doesn't seem very robust. If we're going to lose another half a percentage point, then the Federal Reserve wants to hold down interest rates. And the thing is, if you're a saver and you're trying to save for yourself for your retirement, and you look at those interest rates, what are you getting at your bank? I think last month I looked at my checking account, I got 5 cents, a nickel for interest last month. So, people are not getting any money off of interest rates, so they're pouring money, is starting to come back more into stocks as investors search for some kind of a return just because interest rates have been so low for so long. And also, we see corporate profits are quite high, and part of that is because companies can borrow very cheaply, but also because wages have been depressed because unemployment is so high. So some of the things that are bad for the real economy, for you and me, for real people who have real jobs, it's kind of bad to be adding to unemployment. But if you're an employer who wants to hold down wages, maybe this is sort of an environment where you can assume that you're going to continue to have good corporate profits because you don't have to worry too much about wage pressures and you don't have to worry about high borrowing costs.
Which is a problem that we probably could look at another day, but where corporations are making huge money for their investors, but they're banking it, not hiring anyone, and therefore the economy still seems to be in trouble. So on top of that, how will the sequester affect us here in southwestern Pennsylvania?
Well, I pulled up some statistics from the White House on how does this sequester impact different states. And Pennsylvania has a great deal at stake. According to the White House statistics anyway, there are 26,000 civilian Defense Department workers. So let's just take a look at that. What is happening with those civilian workers is that they will have to take furloughs. That is, one day a week they'll have to stay home with no pay. For the next 7 months, or 6 months, I guess, at this point, by the time they actually kick in next month. So these folks will be losing 20% of their paycheck. An awful lot of people live pretty much paycheck to paycheck. That's going to put a lot of families at risk to not have that income. And one thing to remember with those defense workers, about 40% are veterans. So in a lot of cases, there will be people who have come home from war, served their time in the military, they get a job with the Defense Department, and now they're going to be asked to take a 20% pay cut. So for a lot of people, that's going to be pretty painful, and it will be felt in Pennsylvania. But another thing is, there are an awful lot of research grants that come around to states. You folks have a lot of, people doing medical research, and that kind of thing comes out of the National Institutes for Health budget. So you'll see cuts in research. Maybe there won't be graduate students that get the funding that they were hoping for. There are all kinds of reverberations that will be hitting the economy. One of the things the White House lists is something like 360 teachers' pay will be put at risk by this. Head Start, work study programs. So you will be feeling it once they all take effect.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. Our guest is NPR business editor Marilyn Gwax, joining us from Washington. Marilyn, we're running out of time for this segment. There are a couple of questions I have left to ask you. One is there still a chance that some sort of an agreement can be reached on Capitol Hill that would stop the sequester in its tracks?
Yes, and that's sort of today's good news, where we're at with this right now. It won't stop sequester, but they're looking at ways to make it better. Yesterday, the House Republicans put through a bill. It did pass. Didn't have that much Democratic support, but enough that it did pass. And this bill would still allow sequester to go forward, that is, cutting spending, but it would give the military much more flexibility in terms of deciding where those cuts might take place. And by shifting things around, they could really diminish some of the impact of this. They might leave the civilian workers alone and instead just cancel a new project that would be starting, or some way to mitigate the impact of it by stressing cutbacks on future projects rather than hitting existing things. And now it's going to the Senate. The Democrats are saying, wait a minute, this bill would only allow the military to have more flexibility about what to cut. How about the other agencies? Let's let everybody have more flexibility in terms of how sequester would affect their communities. So it's probable that some kind of a deal could be worked out here, something that would complete funding for the government through the rest of this fiscal year, so we wouldn't have to worry about any kind of government shutdowns in this fiscal year. And it would allow these budget cuts to go forward, but in a way that is a little more commonsensical than just across-the-board cuts that would hit indiscriminately without regard for how important or not the functions are.
And there is another problem looming later this month, and that's a government shutdown unless we get a continuing resolution.
Right.
They're
kind of trying to roll it all together now. Everybody kind of is sick. Everybody here is sick of this topic. I mean, everyone in Washington has cliff fatigue. I think we've had just about enough with all of these deadlines and cliffs and all of this. So if they can put together probably some sort of a package that would extend funding for the government through the end of this fiscal year, take away this concern about the continuing resolution that's going to expire for the budget on March 27th, get that rolled into some way of making sequester a little bit less painful, they could probably come up with a kind of, it's maybe not a giant grand bargain, but enough to bring stability for the rest of this fiscal year, which ends in September, September 30th.
We'll keep our fingers crossed, Marilyn. We have to run, but thank you so much for joining us. NPR business editor Marilyn Geewax with us by phone from Washington. Enjoy the cherry blossoms.
Thank you. We will. Take care.